All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. And yes, if you're watching on YouTube, this is real life. We are in person together in wonderful downtown San Diego. The sun's a little bright, but behind us is the beautiful downtown San Diego skyline. We are together for a Crypto 101 summit. The whole entire team is flying in today. And we said last week, listen, if any breaking news happens, we are going to try our best to make an episode. We started Friday off. We knew the Trump tweet was there. We kind of broke down what could happen.
Yeah.
But by God, did we have no idea what was about to happen 2 hours after we left the podcast. Brendan, the largest liquidation event in crypto history. Hot takes around. Guys, we're going to break it down for you the best we can. We are kind of in a situation where we're putting on a live event. There's going to be people moving in the background behind us, but we wanted to make sure we get an awesome piece of content. Brendan. Amazing to be here with you in person, my brother.
Good to see you, brother.
We survived. We survived the largest liquidation event in crypto history. But hot take, how did you go over the weekend before we dive into the rundown here? What are your thoughts? What happened?
It was funny because I was talking to some of the other team members. Brian was watching in and other guys. And there was a quote from it on Friday where I said, there is no way that we see another 30% drawdown or anything like that outside of some crazy black swan event like the tariff crash. Boy, did I jinx us.
Yeah.
Boy, did I jinx us.
Well, we're not gonna blame it on you. We have a couple people we might be able to blame, Brendan, but we're not gonna put that on you. But again, we are still bullish. And we even said that yesterday, Friday, after the tweet. We're bullish. The playbook, we've seen this before. And then I think the number one reason why we didn't run to do something over the weekend, besides us traveling here, was when that stuff happens, you got to digest.
You got to.
Like, there was some wild digestion there that needed to happen Saturday into Sunday. Yep. Obviously, internally, we were putting out our market alerts. So if you want to get in tune with those market alerts, obviously check the description for all the links to join our community. But I think we kind of nailed it because now that we're here Monday, the price action is evened out. Yep. And then I think number one thing we're going to dive into is, my God, like the difference between Bitcoin, Ethereum, and the blue chips and some of the altcoin market is kind of confusing. So that's why we're going to jump in here and start. But let's tee it up. Bring up the Trump tweet. I got to get up and make sure that our stream is safe and sound for everybody. But take it away. Let's start from the top. Just in case you didn't listen to Friday's episode, we kicked it off with the Trump tweet and then things escalated very quickly.
Yeah. So to pick up where we left off on Friday, we did have the Trump tweet, right? And that basically came out and Trump was saying, hey, I'm not happy with what's happening with President Xi and China. And he's just upset about the whole thing. And from there, the markets responded and they were a little bit nervous about it, right? They were a little bit scared about it. And so the markets were saying, like, are we going to go through tariffs 2.0 all over again? And that's what we saw in the first half of the year, where the market started at all-time highs, and then they fell off from there. And we went into this multi-month depression where, like, NASDAQ dropped 30%, Bitcoin dropped over 30%, altcoins got destroyed. And that's where we left off on Friday. And we're like, so long as this doesn't escalate to some black swan event, we'll be fine. Well, later that day, a second tweet came out. And that's right after we stopped. And Trump came out and said, there's going to be an additional 100% tariffs on China because he just, again, wasn't happy with what was going on. And so then we were like, oh, no, like we're letting it digest and it's escalating.
And then China responded. Yes. Again, I don't know if Xi has X account like Trump does.
His team did.
Yeah, his team put out, they're like, oh, we won't accept this.
Yeah.
You know, we're willing to go to a trade war with the U.S. So it was like this cascading of escalation all within like a 4 hour window, really.
Yes.
It was crazy. Go ahead.
I mean, and then this tweet that you all can see on the screen, again, shout out to YouTube. If you're listening from anywhere else, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, Audible, you name it, all the visuals, all the charts, all the graphics are going to be on our YouTube channel, which is the Crypto 101 podcast. So check us out over there. But on the screen right now, we got a follow-up tweet. And this one came in yesterday. And he was just saying, hey, don't worry. It's going to be fine. It's kind of a misunderstanding. No one really wants this. And that's what it alluded to. And then we got more information coming out from the VP today and other members of the U.S. And it seems like, you know, this is de-escalating. And this kind of thing happens. And you called me up on Friday. You're like, it feels like we have been through this before.
Right.
And you're spot on about it.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani. All right, Crypt Nation fam, are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? Because I know I am. The Bitcoin credit card by Gemini earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it like any credit card. You buy lunch, you get gas, any of your weekly grocery expenses, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight into your account. All that with no annual fee. And right now, you can grab $200 of Bitcoin. That's right, a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus with the Gemini credit card. It is the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And, you know, that's what we've continued to see. Things happening everywhere.
We didn't have it in the sheet. Again, we're doing this live today, yeah. Folks. So bear with us while I change this out, if it'll come up. But I wanted to go to our Twitter. And basically, I know we tweeted this out. I know I did a little victory lap there. Well, that's an old one. Why is that so old?
I don't know. It's we're also working on a brand new computer. This thing just opened up.
Okay, makes sense. Let me just go to my computer then, because I brought it up earlier. It was basically, we've played this game before, and while I know we were kind of waiting for Trump to tweet, and you're going here, it was like the playbook was already set up. Trump's going to tweet stuff. He's going to get the market all riled up, and then he's going to send out his cronies to do pick up the pieces, basically. So I know Scott Bessent, Marco Rubio, they've been doing all these different types of deals all over the world. And Scott Bessent went on and started hitting the financial channels and saying, oh, everything's fine. We have a great relationship with China. And so it's like it's two different angles of, you know, what's happening. It's Trump's Twitter versus what's actually happening. And kind of like what we covered, and I know I went on a rant on this the other day, Friday, and I called it, hey, I don't remember the last exact season number of The Apprentice, but this whole journey, like it or love it, is a reality show for him. That's what he knows. He's a reality show star, and he just happens to now be the president of the United States. and you got to take it with a grain of salt. Again, whether you love them or hate them, that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is the markets. And again, we've seen this play before. So that's what I wanted to share up on the screen. That's why we got a little befuddled there, because I forgot to put this in the notes. Like, we've seen this before. And again, past results does not guarantee future results either, right? Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. But like, it is the same playbook. And it's not... It's not like I get so passionate about this stuff, because it's not like, oh, this happened 6 to 8, 10, 20 years ago. It might happen again. It's like, guys, this happened 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It's not that long. And we've talked about how this is the most heated rally from the original tariff thing, because people got left behind.
Yeah.
And so there's a huge difference between, I think, Bitcoin and Ethereum dropping, you know, the 5 to 15%. Some of these altcoins were down, you know, 70, 80%. Yeah. A couple of them went to zero real quick. Like, insane numbers. So there's a disconnect there in the crypto markets, and that's why you're here. So I know we're going to get into that specifically, but just to take it off the top, whether it's the NASDAQ, the S&P, Bitcoin, Ethereum, like, we've seen this playbook before.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. And there still was a lot of questions that stemmed from the crash. Like, why was it so bad? Why was it the way that it was? And despite us being through this, you know, there were a few things that maybe you could have looked at differently. And so, I mean, let's just go ahead and dive into that. I mean, I think we can move on from this one, right?
Yeah. Go to the notes, and then bring up whatever you want to bring up next.
Yeah. I mean, well, let's just talk about like what this Black Swan event was, right? So the response so far has been like, it looks like we're going into de-escalation. And I think the next thing that we can look at is just how big this liquidation event was. And I think, again, that's something that took a lot of people by surprise, is just the sheer size of it. And so when we look at this here, I mean, let's just throw this up on the screen real fast. $19+ billion in liquidations. And this makes it larger than FTX, Luna, and COVID crashes combined. And not just by like one or two, like all of them combined a couple times over.
It's head-scratching numbers.
It is head-scratching.
It's head-scratching numbers.
And the reason that this happened, like, let me just say, I think that this was a very avoidable issue. But there's two primary drivers to this crash, and I don't think you can blame it all on the tweet. Because I think that if the tweets would have played out normally, without the second part, which we're going to talk about, we probably would have seen a $1 billion liquidation event. Big, not insane, right? Not as big as FTX, not as big as Luna, not as big as COVID. It would have hurt, right? People would have been scared about FUD. But we've had so many trade headlines, it would not have been the end of the world. We would have had longs getting liquidated, but not $20 billion worth. And so what happened here in the second part was Binance. And Binance really started to have some internal issues. So the first half was the FUD, right? That's what was caused the initial reaction of people were fearful of another trade for. They were uncertain about what could happen next. They were doubtful about the markets. They're already so high, can they go higher? And so that was the initial catalyst. Mm-hmm. The second part of this was just Binance having issues. And so part of the issues with Binance is that they were relying, and they mostly do rely on an internal pricing model. They don't tend to bring in external oracles or reference external pricing. They work all kind of internally. And the issue that they had is that some of their cryptos, and specifically some of their stable coins like USDE from Athena, is that when this started to happen and they started to depeg, instead of looking elsewhere where everything was being rebalanced fine, their kind of, again, heavily internal focused systems were telling each other, oh, it's bad, oh, it's worse, oh, it's getting worse. And instead of looking out to Coinbase and Kraken and Robinhood and Gemini and every other exchange and saying, okay, everything else is fine everywhere. It's all being rebalanced. It's fine. They kept looking inwards and they got into an echoing chamber, and their system essentially got into an echoing chamber of sorts where it kept telling itself, oh, it's getting depegged. It's getting worse and worse and it's falling. And this created an issue. And so the issue with having these models that are very internal focused in nature, especially when it relies to like oracles and pricing, is, I mean, this affects more than just the prices. I mean, it affects collateral and valuations and the liquidation process. And there was a moment in time where USDE, a stablecoin, was valued at around 65 cents on Binance, and it was in the 90 cents area for almost every other exchange. And when you go and you look at the crash, which I think everyone should, and you go and you look at it, it was wild to see how deep the candles were on Binance and how deep it was on Coinbase and Kraken and Gemini and a lot of the other leaders when it comes to crypto. And the depths of the charts and how much these things fell were so much deeper on Binance. Again, you can see, I mean, it was just clear issues that were happening on Binance's end, freaking out and not working properly to the point where like they've posted blogs about this and we were just looking at it before it.
Yeah, pulled up the that's the Binance link there. That's the blog. So it was basically Binance like had to come out and admit that there was an error on their platform that hurt some of the trading and the liquidations, especially if you're getting liquidated at 65 cents on the dollar. Not only are you losing a ton of money already, you've lost the whatever you get to keep is halved with the 65 cents basically. So it was a huge issue for Binance. I know a lot of their leadership was tweeting, the Binance account was tweeting, and then what we're showing you here is their actual official blog post. So if you're interested in looking that out, I mean, you can just kind of Google, click around, and go to Binance's X and scroll down for their official link to this blog post, but basically trying to explain what happened and then also offering reimbursement for the issues that were caused.
And like one of the interesting things, I saw them talking about Atom. I don't know if you saw this. Atom on, I believe it was on Binance, went to 1 cent.
Yeah.
Went to 1 cent. A couple dollar coin, multi-billion dollar project, went to 1 cent. I mean, let's just try to pull this up real fast and see if you all can't see
this. Charts.
But it was a crazy event. And we're going to wrap all this together and make sure like we explain why this is significant and what happened and everything. But here's the chart over here. I'm going to try to do it on my end. They don't even show it going to 1 cent, but it did. And people were getting filled at 1 cent on Atom. So, I mean, if you look at this thing, it shows a low of $1.50 or something. And again, I'm winging this on the fly, but you can go to other exchanges and you don't see the same here. I mean, look at this, essentially a $3 low on Coinbase, but a $1.50 low on Binance. It dropped, it saw another, like, what was that, 50% to the downside just between the exchanges. And it was a crazy, crazy event. And you saw this with just about everything.
It was a fire sale. Yeah, roll through some other ones.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at, I don't know, let's go to like Solana. Well,
let's end with XRP. Bitcoin in a few. Let's go. Usually we start with Bitcoin Ethereum. Let's end with Bitcoin Ethereum. Right. Let's start with some of these altcoins that just scared the crap out of everybody.
So, I mean, let's try to take a look at like XRP, right? XRP, one people always like to talk to us about. It went down to, 79 cents. So if we go to XRP on another exchange, let's go to Coinbase, it went down to $1.79. Literally a $1 difference from 179 to 79 cents. And I mean, the price differences in the arbitrage was ridiculous. And like, let's just go to another one. Let's go to Solana, for example. And we take a look at this. And I hope that this is starting to paint the picture of like what happened over here. And so this one actually doesn't look as bad for Binance. But it was $170 bucks. And if we go to Coinbase, it was a little higher, $173. So not a huge difference there.
Can you pull up the one that I was eyeing up and trying to buy? Yeah. It was Ondo.
Yeah.
I think at one point Ondo went down like 70%. And so I was trying to get orders filled like nonstop. I didn't catch the pure bottom. So I got in about like in the 5.5, 5.6. Yeah. I got a fill, but like I saw it down here and was hammering buys and I couldn't get them filled.
Well, this is another one, 25 cent for Ondo on Binance. You know, let's go over to Coinbase again. Let's just look at them because they're just at the top of the list here. Mm-hmm. And what did they go to over here? You know, 58 cents. I mean, the difference is crazy.
And that's why, I'm getting filled over different exchanges. I couldn't get the exact bottom. I'm seeing the charts, it's going crazy. But definitely, and again, all this was in, I was on the phone with you. This was in about like 15, 20 minutes.
Yes.
I saw this stuff fall off a cliff. Credit to us at Crypto 101 for monitoring this real time. But I called you. I'm like, what are you seeing? You're like, I don't know. Look at this. It's waterfall. It's like freaky, but it didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, which again, once the tide went out, we'll find some people aren't wearing bathing suits while they're swimming. Somebody had to get blown up in this at $19 billion liquidated. But like, it really didn't make sense. Could you bring up the charts again, though? Let's just finish on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Because I think this is interesting for our audience. Like, again, we always say to our audience, listen, leverage is can be very dangerous. And we always say, please educate yourself. If you're doing any type of perpetuals, futures, leverage, anything with leverage, you got to be careful. We always emphasize this. But I also feel like the listenership at Crypto 101, yeah, we have some degens, but I think we have a good mix of people. And I really feel like the average person, so somebody like myself, who a lot of people know that I'm in the space and we do the podcast, if something big happens, people call and question and ask, what's going on? What should I buy? Yada, yada, yada. I was waiting for the plethora of phone calls. And I did a lot of stuff this weekend in person with a lot of friends that I know. And you know, a couple people said, hey, did something happen? What was going on with crypto? Did something happen? It was a question. And I thought I was going to get, see, crypto's a scam. Yeah. Crypto's dead again. Like, that's what happened during FTX. Like, if we're saying that this is 20 times more than FTX or 10 times more, when FTX happened, it was
pandemonium.
It was over, but crypto was dead. Crypto was truly dead. I had friends. My own mother asked if we still had a job. I was like, hey, you're going to still have a job after this? Whereas this happened, and the average person, whether they have a little bit of Bitcoin, Ethereum, or maybe none, they're not, I don't think they really felt this.
Yeah.
I really don't. I mean, we're going to have to wait a little bit more maybe, but as you can see here on the charts, so talk us through the price action, but I think this might confirm what I'm kind of saying, right? Painting the picture here.
Yeah. And so just to tie together that final point, we had this two-sided event. The tweet, which was the catalyst, should have been a sell-off. Not nearly the size of the one that we saw. The second side was centralized failure. And so I want to clarify this because I've seen a lot of people talk about it. There was not a failure of blockchain tech. There was not a failure of a project. There was not a failure of anything like that. The failure was all a centralized issue that Binance did for essentially cutting corners in their system. Mm-hmm. It was a flawed thing on the centralized side of Binance's servers or backend, whatever we want to call it. And so that was it. I saw a lot of people saying, oh, does this hurt blockchain tech's reputation? No, it wasn't a blockchain tech issue. And so that brings us up to speed, which is, you know, does that still end the cycle? Does it end altcoins? And I think the answer there is no.
Right.
When you look at what happened here and you see that Bitcoin had a $20 billion liquidation event, the largest one it's ever seen, worse than all these other ones combined and several times over. And then you go and you look at the Bitcoin price on the chart, what do you see? Despite having that, the crash nowhere near resembled all those other events that we talked about. You go and you look at it and Bitcoin held. I mean, let's just look at this on the chart here. Bitcoin held above its prior all-time highs. We can zoom out to this. It held above its prior all-time highs. It held the higher low. It held the 200-day moving average. It held this consolidation range. It held the anchored VWAP from the Terra flows. It held all the significant support levels and bounced off of them and immediately jetpacked back to the upside 50%, erased half of it. So what I would say is, despite seeing the largest liquidation event in history and all these crazy things that could have happened, the crypto market immediately rebounded 50%. And we held all of our critical support levels. And I think the one word to describe it is resilience, right? Tom Lee's talked about this, where he said, people keep saying, oh, is it a dead cat bounce and this and that? He's gonna say, if there's all these different unique events that something survives and it continues to chug higher, you wouldn't say that it's lucky or you wouldn't say it's a dead cat bounce. You'd say that is a very resilient asset. And I think you have to say the same thing about here with Bitcoin. I think you have to say that it's resilient by not breaking down to new lows off of news like that. And from top to bottom, the retracement was only about 12%, 12.5%. And when we're looking at it now and the way that it is bouncing, I mean, if you look at the candle closes in here, they're all above 110,000 and they're all above this support line. They're all at a higher low than the previous candle closings here and here and over in here. And it continues to close higher. And so I think Bitcoin here is showing us the greatest sense of resilience that I think we've ever seen, having a liquidation event of that size and still closing higher, which is just a crazy thing. Had that kind of thing happened in the past, you know, we would have been destroyed. Could you imagine if the FTX and the Luna and the COVID crash were all $1-2 billion liquidation events, like,
it's crazy.
It would have been flattening, and the ETFs are still buying, retail still buying. And the inside joke here is that this was the event for the institutional side to load up on their altcoin ETFs before all the ETFs launch, which is expected to be within the next week or two if the government.
I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, just one last chart, pull up BNB. It's like you'd think, oh, Binance caused this. You'd think Binance would be at a break the lows, no?
New all-time highs.
New all-time highs. So again, I think that there's a sad realization in the crypto sphere of like, I got screwed, you know, this was manipulated. And I think I saw a good tweet. I didn't pin it. But it said something like this. It was like, listen, all markets are manipulated at some time.
Yes.
It's just with the stock market, we can't see who, what, where, and when.
Yeah.
And while we don't necessarily know the exact who, we have the wallet addresses.
Yep.
And then, yes, was somebody always knows. I mean, we all follow Unusual Whales.
Yep.
And we'll see somebody loads up on Broadcom calls,
yes.
You know, 1 week calls, and then the next day Broadcom announces, you know, OpenAI partnership. Yeah. It goes up 20%. The guy made $1 million or $100 million. So yeah, we saw that there was like some whale opened up a hyperliquid account and funded it and went short the market like an hour before Trump tweeted. So yes, there is some manipulation here. The Binance thing is going on. You can, you know, I don't know. We don't necessarily have the facts, but if you want to wrap the old tinfoil like we do sometimes here, like, yeah, there was some, sadly, something fishy was going on in the market. But again, everybody in our chat was kind of going like, oh, this is crazy. This is bad. Is this the end of crypto? Blah, blah, blah. And it's like Bryce just kind of just guided us as always. He always does. He goes, guys, no crying in the casino.
Yeah.
No crying in the casino. Because at the end of the day, what we just showed you with Bitcoin was the people that got hurt the most, and we don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah.
But again, it goes back to the, you need to understand what you're doing with leverage. Yep. And if you're overextending yourself with leverage and a black swan event happens, you're gonna get cleaned out. Your clock's gonna get cleaned.
Wiped.
And then you can go and cry of why that happened, and I don't even think you'd be wrong. If you're like if you're done with crypto but because you got over leveraged and you got wiped out from a Trump tweet, maybe it's not the space for you. But if somebody like myself who really doesn't play in the leverage market much and then was talking to my friends, I feel like I feel it from a new sense, but like I didn't get cleaned out because I don't overextend myself like that without proper risk management.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard, man. And I think with the rise of hype, with the rise of Aster, right? All these big perps markets popping up, becoming popular, people were using them. And with that, there's just a ton of growth and people liked it. The crypto market kept going up and up and up, and it felt like alt season was right around the corner. Bitcoin's about to break the highs. Ethereum's about to break the highs. Everything's getting ready. And so people were getting levered up with it, and we saw another kind of pump fake. And unfortunately, it just led to a snowball effect.
And it did. And again, we were super excited about October. October's kind of seemed to be, we got a rain on that parade a little bit. But we were right. That first week of October, we came out of the gates running. And that's why I think people, again, goes to that offsides theory of like, okay, when's this going to happen? When's this going to happen? Now? Is it now? And everybody just got over leveraged plus this black swan event. So it kind of all happened in once. But again, if you zoom out on these major blue chip assets that, you know, we try to educate everybody on the most.
Yep.
I know inside the community, we have the blue chip, you know, portfolio and all that stuff to kind of tell you where we think the best plays are. But, you know, once you start diving into this altcoin world and you know, Bitcoin has leverage against the S&P, Ethereum has leverage against Bitcoin. I mean, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? And we've talked about this on the show of Coinbase starts to offer 20X, 25X, 50X.
Can we talk about the 50X tweet? Yeah. Crisis?
Yes.
Bring it up. Bring it up.
All right. I don't even know if I can find it. Who tweeted it?
So, I think it was Brian Armstrong. In the middle of Friday's event, I think it was in the middle of Friday's event, maybe Saturday, Brian Armstrong tweets out, hey guys, we've just upped our leverage so that everyone can go from 25X to 50X. And this was in the middle of the largest liquidation event in history caused by the very market that he's talking about everyone can get even more levered up on. And it was like, dude, time and place, dude. Time and place. It's like a tragedy just happened and you're coming in and you're cracking jokes. 10 minutes later, and it was just.
I think, well, this tweet specifically, the 50X was from a month ago.
Yeah.
Up to 50x. But then that's what I did. I was like, oh my God, how did this happen? I tweeted. It's like, well, it's because we got 50x. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't. He didn't tweet that out in the moment.
We love you,
Brian Armstrong.
Oh, yeah. So that makes me feel a little bit better. But to your point,
how did this happen? I'm not on the screen right now. How did this happen? It's okay. So a month ago, you see that Brian Armstrong's promoting the new feature to get 20 to 50x leverage. Yeah. Okay. So how did an event like this happen? 19 billion compared to the 2 billion with FTX.
Yeah.
This is how it happened. There's people that are going 50x their exposure. And then depending on how funded your account is, I mean, the margin of error is what? 10, 20% tops.
Yeah.
Tops.
Yeah.
So when something goes down 10, 15%, that cascading effect of just slices through the market like butter. And that's how this happens. So again, I don't think the average person out there is going and doing 20 to 50x leverage. I really hope not. If you are, you need to get educated on it if you are thinking about doing that. But again, there's a lot of degens out there. We like to degen when it's time.
Yes.
But responsible. You got to be, it's like gambling. You got to do this stuff responsibly, man. I mean, you're going to get absolutely wiped out. And I feel like a ton of people did. And there's some really, really sad stories out there in the crypto sphere. And just like, it's not worth putting yourself in a position where you can't live with the results. Yeah. You have to understand that there's no free ticket to 100X or a 50X. It's crazy. It's crazy. And that's what we try to do here, to stay educated and all that stuff. But again, if we zoom out, so what's going on? What are people doing after this largest liquidation ever? Well, I'll tell you what. Yeah, share that one.
Yeah.
Guys, Michael Saylor's buying. He didn't buy last week. I don't think Michael Saylor knew by any means, but you know, he starts his buying spree again. Let's see, pull it up. How many did they buy?
Another 220 Bitcoin for $27 million.
Yep. And then, of course, our friend of the program, Tom Lee. Let's see. Can I share this
one? $3 million. It's already on.
Oh, it is? Cool.
I believe so. Yeah.
Move this to the other window.
And, yeah, I mean, you look at it, another 3 million Ethereum.
Congrats, BitMine.
Crazy.
They're still doing it. And then, here, I'll pull up another one. There were some reports coming out that Trump is like, you know, Trump's, it's probably like more like Trump family.
Yes.
Is now a top Forbes. So Forbes says President Donald Trump is now one of the largest Bitcoin investors on the planet, owning an estimated 870 million in BTC. So I'm sure that funnels into his family, World Liberty Fi, and all that stuff that the Trump family's doing. But again, like, this is happening. I'll say this is my opinion, just my opinion personally, not a reflection of anybody else on the show or program, but yes, there's insider trading going on. Like, yes, that has been going on. We joke about the Nancy Pelosi tracker in the stock market. Yes, it's happening in the crypto market as well. Yeah. Probably an equal amount.
Yeah. And I had someone earlier ask me I did a trading session a little bit earlier, and someone was saying, Brendan, like, do you think that this proves that there's issues with blockchain, the fact that people can insider trade? And I said, my guy, I said, insider trading happens arguably more in the TradFi markets. We've all seen the politician copiers. And the thing is that it's not just one side. And that's what I think this person was trying to get at, is it's not a one-sided thing. Mm-hmm. You see it happen on the left, you see it happen on the right, you see it happen in all the political parties. Like, people from everywhere do it, and it happens in stocks. And guess what? I think you'd have to be ignorant to think that it doesn't also happen in crypto too. Yeah. It happens on both sides of the political party. It happens in all the different markets. It's unfortunately just a thing. And it's not like, oh, because it's crypto, this can happen like this. And yeah.
And I think it's something that we've been touting on the show now for less than a year, I guess, about a year since President Trump got elected, was kind of this sentiment of the top of the tweet. I tweet this out, I go, and you're selling. Yeah. Like, Donald Trump's family is one of the top Bitcoin holders
in the
world.
People are selling.
And you're selling. Like, it goes back to, if you were listening to the show a year ago, I gave the speech. It was like, you could not like Bitcoin or crypto at all.
Yeah.
You could think it's totally garbage. But guess what? The President of the United States is for it.
Yeah.
So I would buy that asset. Not personal financial advice in any mean, but I would buy that asset any day if the person in the White House is all for it. And then pull up this clip, because I literally say this multiple times every couple of weeks, I feel like.
Yeah.
I go, eventually, with same thing. You could hate Bitcoin, you could hate crypto, but what's going to happen here is, as all these, the Vanguards, they're going to roll over and start offering stuff soon. We know that story. We know that, you know, we saw Citigroup's doing analyst calls now on crypto and Bitcoin. Go down the list. JP Morgan's building on the blockchain, even though Jamie Dimon hates crypto. And I've said this before about BlackRock. I go, well, you could hate Bitcoin and crypto, but Larry Fink, again, he'll say this in the clip, what he used to say about Bitcoin and crypto. What's going to happen is Larry Fink and his army are going to be selling, not to us, to your friends and your family, your parents, your grandparents, who know nothing about crypto, who thought it was a scam. It's Larry Fink and his salespeople are going to be like, no, now that it's BlackRock, it's safe. It's a good idea. So roll the clip, because it's 60 minutes, guys. 60 minutes is a nationally televised show on Sunday nights. Who watches that? Our parents and our grandparents.
Yeah,
the older. And so this is who Larry Fink and the salespeople are coming for. We've been telling you for a year now.
I did say Bitcoin, because we were talking about Bitcoin then, was the domain of money launderers and thieves. But, you know, the markets teach you, you have to always relook at your assumptions. There is a role for crypto in the same way there's a role for gold. That is, it's an alternative. For those looking to diversify, this is not a bad asset, but I don't believe that it should be a large component of your portfolio.
People should have this in their portfolio. This is the largest asset manager on the planet. $10 trillion plus in assets under management. And they're coming out here. All the big players are. And they think that you should have it. I think on the other rundown, we showed like what's a proper allocation. And there's now allocation guidelines. And this is becoming the norm. And it's only a matter of time until we get to that point. And guess what? We're still not there. If you look at 1% of IRAs and retirement accounts and pensions and all this stuff, if 1% or 2% of that was in Bitcoin, it's a different world. You know, we're hundreds of thousands instead of 100,000. And again, we're slowly getting there. It's not going to be something that happens overnight, but
yeah, it goes to the fact that I feel kind of excited that this 60 Minutes clip popped up, because it's literally what I said. It's for Larry Fink and his salesmen are going to be sitting down with your parents and your grandparents and
they are.
And they're on 60 Minutes. What? So who's watches 60 Minutes? Oh my God! Look who's
look
here.
Look at these guys!
Bring it in! Holy, what a treat!
The rest of the analysts.
What a treat, guys! We have Brian McNutt, Joe Choi. Look at this in person.
On your full house.
Pop this off. Here we go. Just like this. I got it. I'm interviewing you.
Awesome. Hey, I was tuning in, loving it. Everything you're saying. What are we buying?
What's up, guys? Yeah, 10x leverage on everything.
No, Joe. That's not how. No. Guys, this is really exciting. This is not only is the first time that Brennan and I have done a live show. Now we got the whole crew here. I guess everybody, this is going to get sent out, so a lot of people see it. So this is exciting to have everybody here. Guys, how'd you survive? A quick hit, Joe. Everybody got liquidated. What were your thoughts over the weekend?
I don't do leverage. How I survived is nobody sausage didn't get the memo. They're up 25% in the last 7 days while everything was just plummeting. So
Okay. Yeah,
we caught that up for everyone.
Well, we talked about nobody sausage on the show multiple times. And again, Joe, unprompted, Joe walks in the room, guys, says, I don't do leverage. Even in the meme coin marches, when you're in the trenches, we talked about it. It's like, okay, Bitcoin's leveraged the S&P. Ethereum's leveraged to Bitcoin. Altcoins are leveraged, everything else. Meme coins are higher leverage and outfit, everything else. It's like, we pulled up the tweet by Brian Armstrong. It's like, okay, 20X, 50X. It's like, oh, how did this happen? It's because they're rolling out 50, 100X products and everybody's getting levered up to their neck. That's how it's happening. But Brian, what did you see this weekend? Quick hits. How did you survive?
I do leverage. And but luckily, I didn't have any open positions. And everything these guys are saying, you have to really know what you're getting yourself into when you're dealing with leverage. It is literally the gambling of the gambling that happens. And the kind of the flavor of the recent market's been perps dexes. Yeah. You've been hearing everything about Aster and hype. And it's catching everyone a little bit here. So luckily, myself and a lot of people I know didn't get too wrecked. But I'm sympathetic to anybody that did. But I think this could be a little bit of a clearinghouse. I think this is bullish overall for the market. I mean, what was it? FTX, COVID, and Luna. Altogether.
Yeah.
Didn't meet the amount of liquidations that we saw over the past couple of days. So with that being said, that we kind of fired back up, we're veed right back up. We got Binance, hitting all-time highs as of today, even with, you know, a lot of connecting.
Just covered that.
Yeah.
They had to put out an apology and refund people for a DPEG, and they're at all-time highs.
So we got it on the screen.
Yeah, so that just goes to show you, I think everyone needs to be very careful with leverage. That's why spot is a very interesting position. I'm a big spot trader, and I think if you were watching this live like a lot of us, We definitely started to buy some more spot when we saw this bid wipeout because there was a huge opportunity. And I think it's still live.
Couldn't agree more. And I think it's just exciting that we kind of go through this together. It's kind of the big part of why you want to be a part of the community, whether it's the podcast, the YouTube, or if you're interested, we have tons of links below for both Brian and Joe's community. Brendan's trading cohort is open this week, so I put that link down for everybody below. And overall, how exciting for the entire team to be here. Every time we get together, it's exciting. Last time it was all-time highs. This time, the biggest liquidation event in history. But the Crypto 101 team is here just doing the research with everybody together. Brendan, I'm going to pass it off to you to sign off. I'm going to go over here and end it, but say goodbye to the good people. What's our schedule this week? Probably. So we have some interviews I'm going to be putting out with Bryce and Brendan. That's going to be awesome. Can't guarantee another rundown this week. But, you know, again, we try our best to put out all the content we can for you guys.
Yeah. Well, hey, everyone. We appreciate all of you watching. It's awesome being able to be in person with the rest of the team. We have a lot of new content coming forward. We even have a new tutorial, I think, coming out. Is it out already?
It's out. It's out. Out, yeah.
So, yeah, we have a brand new tutorial on Coinbase and their new DEX feature. So go check that out. Thank you all for watching. I see the chat box over there. Just absolutely electric,
call him out. Sorry, I'm over here. What we got? East Coast Lobster Classic, Josh Clark. What is that? Oh, TNO Country Boy. Never heard of him before. Welcome, brother. Josh Clark, Michael Anthony, Brian McNutt, Vlad D. Awesome. Awesome stuff for an impromptu rundown. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Well, like TiVo said, thank you all for watching. We're going to be back here very soon with a lot more content, and we'll talk to you all then.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.